Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Kings 4 and verse 1. I'll read 7 verses and then preach what God put in our heart. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go. Borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children of the rest. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, ever how long you want me to preach is how long I want to preach. Not a minute. Not a minute over or not a minute under. Lord, as we've come into thy house tonight, we're hungry for the word of God. As we sat in the pews and heard the songs of Zion and how it stirred our hearts, and Lord, all of the memories that are racing through our mind and flooding our heart with joy tonight, I'm so overwhelmed to be here. In the midst of all of this, God, we desire you, seems these days more than ever. And Lord, would you help us to help your people? Help us to help your man of God here, the pastor, Brother Barker. May thy will be done and sinners be saved and saints be stirred. And Lord, above all, Jesus would be lifted high. Meet the needs, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I want to take a thought out of the context of our scripture tonight and preach maybe a different view from what maybe you've heard out of these verses in preaching in past days. Here's my title. It's a long title, and here's what I want to preach on. Using what you've got instead of trying to get what you think you need. I can't do this in a hurry. I've never preached this before. This is a brand new one. Using what you got instead of trying to get what you think you need. Or you could use this little thought, making room for what you already got. You hear the question the man of God asked this widow woman, what is thine in thine house? She said, there ain't nothing in here save a pot of oil. She looked down on that. I want to help you. I want to help every one of you here tonight. Boy, ain't we blessed tonight. Ain't we got a lot? But I'm going to be real honest with you. Don't we want more? You're looking at a man that I want more. I'm flesh. Are you hearing me? But I'm telling you what. I need to be useful of what I got. We're in a society, and boy, ain't we seen some. Boy, ain't the last 2 years just been breathtaking. There's not a book that can be wrote to help us get through this hour. Some man wrote, as we've read in the past. But I'm glad the book. I'm glad what we got. It's enough. Are y'all with me? I've got manuals of how to build a church. I've got manuals of how to have a Sunday school program. We got manuals for everything. Ain't nobody got a manual how to get through the COVID. But I'm glad there's a manual, hallelujah. And it'll still get the job done. Thy word is magnified above thy name. The grace withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I ain't here to make nobody nervous, but this coronavirus, it's got a spirit on it like no other sickness has got. Y'all might as well say amen or oh me. We're under more attacks in our mind now than we've ever been. Anxiety is sweeping us out from under our feet. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows where we are and knows where we're doing. And he's got the plan. He's got it all under control. And me and you, if we ain't careful, we'll go be searching for something we don't need when we really got all we need. Here's a little layout I want to say. Let me lay a few things out and then I'm going to preach. There's a distress in this widow woman. She had a problem. Her breadwinner is gone. He's dead. How many of y'all got problems? I got them. And you know what I've done before? I've looked at a problem. And I've created a greater problem by magnifying my problem in a negative way, all right? Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. This lady is finding the man of God because she has a problem. Oh, can I preach a positive thought? My problems is what's running me to the church and to God, not from him. Amen. I understand there's a lot of people, they'll have a problem. They'll shake a fist at God. They'll shake a fist at the church and run. I want to tell you, every time I've ever got in some trouble and had some bad problems, I wanted to get to the man of God. I wanted to get to the church of God. I wanted to get where I knowed they were some help. Are y'all glad there's help down at the house of God? Ain't you glad that we're not enemies in here? We're on the same team. I say glory to God, these different levels of income, these different levels of education, these different levels in all aspects of life. But I'll tell you where the ground's level, and we all stand flat-footed, and we all stand as one equal body. That's at the cross of Calvary. Amen. I'm glad we've all got something in common when it comes to knowing who Jesus is. Hallelujah. And so if you're not careful, you'll magnify somebody else's blessing and not even see your own blessing. This is not an evangelistical style sermon tonight. It's a sermon to help a church, and that's what I've come to do. We're in an hour, churches are closing their doors. Are y'all hearing me? Churches our size, people are not coming. And can I say this is as careful as I know how? And Brother Jonathan, I don't need no more enemies. And I don't need to make nobody no more madder at me than they already are. But the COVID card ain't working no more. Are y'all with me? If I'm going to watch the Georgia Bulldogs play Alabama and them these hundreds of thousands of people shoulder to shoulder, somebody help me. And they ain't got, are y'all with me? I don't want to get a mean spirit on me now. I've come to help you. But if they're still filling the ball stadiums up and they're still filling the racetracks up and they're still going on vacations and they're still going down to the creek banks, but they say we can't come to church, that ain't going stand at judgment. Somebody help me. Are we okay? I don't want to make nobody mad. Honey, but the truth will stand when the world is on fire. Ain't you glad tonight that there's a desire in your heart to come to the country, a church on the hillside? Hey, ain't you glad you're here? Ain't you glad you're not mad? Or if you are mad, maybe you'll get right and get glad. Amen. But ain't you glad that you're in the pew? Amen. And we got our babies in here. We got them from all ages. You say, why? He's a burning hell to shine beneath our feet. But there's a glorious heaven just beyond the blue sky. And one day we're going there. Hallelujah. Man does what he wants to. Amen. I've got some old timers that ain't coming around. They ain't even going to Walmart. But ain't it amazing? I got some church members. You can't catch COVID at Walmart. I don't know how it is up here in North Carolina. You can't catch COVID at a party. You don't catch COVID on vacation. Is everybody okay? I don't know what it is in this here county. We're in Surrey County, but in Floyd County, the only place you can catch COVID is Skyline Baptist Church. That preacher had it, and he spread it all over everybody. Hello? Don't catch it at the dollar store. Hey, man, I ain't been to Walmart in a long time. I'm a dollar store man. Is anybody in the house with me? I don't like the crowds. And you can get the same thing at a dollar store, a quarter cheap. Amen, a quarter cent cheaper. Hallelujah. Oh, are y'all hear me? I know I probably shouldn't have said that, but I've never seen an hour to where we're running from church in the midnight of sickness. When all through the history of mankind, and as far as we can trace back in the history of mankind, when trouble came as a nation, guess where the Christians went? We went to church. We went to the altar. We still had church. I'm glad to still have church. We might ought to take 30 minutes and shout tonight that we're having a Wednesday night service. I don't know how many is around here, but I know back home they're meeting on Sundays, and that's all. They still ain't having Sunday school. They still ain't letting the choir sing. They've closed all nurseries down. I've closed all bathrooms down. I'm glad our doors are still open. I'm glad our mission's still going. Ain't you glad? Hallelujah. Ain't you got a real New Testament church? Hallelujah. And all you got, what you need right here. This distress brought a death. This death brought a departure. This departure brought a darkness. And this darkness created more distress on her. Does that not sound like life to us? Do you realize this little widow woman's problem is what brought her to God? Do you hear the testimony she said? Said, hey, you know thy servant feared ye. You know thy servant loved ye. Are y'all hearing? I'm talking about the one that took care of her, not saying that she didn't work. I'm talking about the breadwinner. I'm talking about the one that paid the rent bill. She's about to lose it all. Anybody ever felt like you was about to lose it all? And all you done is opened up an empty cabinet and there's just one or two things there. Or maybe you pulled up and you looked at an empty parking lot. Or you sat in front of the pew that was empty in front of you. All you want to magnify is empty, empty, empty. I know what I'm preaching. I've been here. I've magnified the emptiness. when I should have magnified what was still sitting on the shelf. I don't mean to be critical here. I'm so ashamed to tell you this, Brother Barker, but as a pastor, I've got up and moaned and groaned over who's not here and never thanked God for who was there. Or y'all, I'm just sorry. I'm a sorry preacher. What about I could go to Luke 15 and preach about that prodigal? Are y'all hearing me? And if you've got a prodigal in here, I'm sorry for you. Oh, me. Oh, I can't believe the Lord had me talk like this. I don't want to make nobody mad. If you've got a prodigal, I'm praying for you. I pray your prodigal comes in. But if we're not careful, we'll focus so much on the prodigal, we'll forget about the young'un that's still in the bedroom with us. Are y'all hearing me? If we're not careful, we'll focus so much on what's left instead of what's really left. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And I've learned that through pastor and brother. I mean, let me tell you, our crowds is not what it used to be. I can't explain to you, but we're having better services than we've ever had. We're paying bills better than we've ever paid them. I don't get it. Hello. I don't understand it. And I'm thinking, where are they at? What's going on? I ought to focus on who did stay instead of who left. Let's magnify who stayed. I'm for everybody that left coming back. But in the same breath, I want to help you so we're not the next to leave. This distress, this departure, this death, this darkness caused her to run to the man of God. And here, don't fall out with me. Guess what? The preacher didn't do nothing for her. Hey, Brother Jonathan, I ain't in a pastor's conference, but this needs to be preached to a pastor's conference. Preacher didn't do nothing for her, but give her instructions. Whew. How many times me and you guilty wanting the preacher to fix our problem? Oh, me. So how do you know to preach that? Well, I had a preacher. Hello? And I wanted my preacher to fix it. And my preacher never would fix it. He'd give me instructions how to fix it. Are y'all going where I'm going? This is hard, boy. I wish we had one of them evangelistical barn burners tonight and we'd all shout. But if we get a hold of this, you'll be in here a decade from now. Some of us, if we're not careful, you'll expect the man of God to fix your problem when the man of God will stand three times a week and give you instructions how to fix it. He's telling you how to fix it. He can't do the fixing. You got to do the fixing. He said, what's in thine house? She said, all I got's a pot of oil. You know what? He didn't magnify the pot of oil, did he? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. He said, you need to go borrow vessels. What about the Word of God saying, even empty vessels? I got another whole sermon on that. I ain't quite got it together yet. But, get vessels that's even got oil in it. Get them too and bring them. Even empty vessels. Hello? And she's like, you mean to tell me? How many times Brother Jonathan ever told y'all to do something and you think, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard? I've told people, they say, preacher, I said, that's what you need to do. And you know what? If they'll go do it, guess what? If some of you would quit depending on others to fix your problem. My little bride's here tonight, and you know what? There's a lot of things I can fix for her, but there's a lot of things I can't fix for her because she got to fix it herself. Oh, I'm sorry we ain't shouting, Brother Jonathan, but I know it's what the Lord want me to preach. I'm really wanting you to see tonight, really what you need, you already got. You wanting something bigger, you wanting something nicer, you wanting something more elegant, you wanting something more easier, you want an easier job, you want a smoother life, you want this and you want that, when in reality, what you got is what you need. I don't understand this mystery, all of that fullness of God, but we got it. Yes, sir. devil's been browbeating you, even on salvation, spirit-filled living. But what you got, that's all you need. Do you know there ain't but two things in real world that's going to count, and that's faith and family? Can I get down here to where the rubber meets the road? I want to say your family's what you need. I understand that the devil has ramshacked some homes. Can I go ahead and chase me a rabbit right here? I'm glad where we live at what the devil meant for evil. Hallelujah, God's getting some good and God's getting some glory out of it. Is anybody in the house with me? When it looked like you had made such a mess of your life, you had made such a wreck of the blessings of God. And listen, yes, you're guilty. Yes, you'll stand before God. But ain't you glad you didn't run from God? You hollered, help, in the midnight of your trouble. Ain't you glad God came to your rescue? Ain't you glad to him at not to do good? And doeth that not to him in his sin? Ain't you glad you know to do right? And God is a God of second and third. And I know that a lot of the independent, they fall out with me right here. But it'll be all right. I'm glad God's a God of grace and mercy. And he'll give us mercy. And he'll give us grace. When the devil has destroyed it all, somehow another God, I will in his providential hand, pick up the broken pieces and put it back together. Together and give you joy in the night. I'm guilty. I'm proof. You better watch these preachers that never make a mistake. I know some of them. I've made a mess of things. Oh, but I'm glad. Hallelujah. I've realized what I got's all I need. That preacher didn't do nothing to her. Her problem's what brought her to God, that brought God some glory. We're in a society, it's all about me. Are y'all not sick of hearing about everybody else when everybody else won't take 5 minutes to listen to what your problem is? Y'all can't believe I said that, can you? You got to hear everybody's story, but nobody wants to hear your story. Are y'all with me? Yeah, I believe I plugged in right there. You got to hear about everybody's problem, but they don't want to hear about yours. Somebody said, man, you preaching to my spouse. <laughs> 24 years of marriage. Let me tell you, I've learned two or three things, Miss Jan. When she's crying, let her cry. Pour it on, fake a cry. She'll stop and say, why are you crying? Because you're crying. And she'll say, well, why am I crying? I said, I don't know, but we're both crying. First 3 years of marriage, she cries, my God, what in the world? What are you crying for, woman? Suck it up. God's good. Are y'all with me? Come on now, nod your heads. Don't act like I'm the only one. I've been married too. She's going to hear about my bad day. And I mean, all she done, dealt with two kids. All day long, homeschooling. Hello. She left me with them for a week, and I said, that'll never happen again. I said, if you're going off on another lady's retreat, we're calling school out. And by then we did, because I was the principal and the daddy and the boss. And we went fishing and we'd done a lot of things. Y'all with me? We had art class. We had mechanics class. Or y'all, we taught them a lot of things. Ain't it amazing how you want everybody to hear you out, but then the ones you love the most, sometimes you won't give them a second, when in reality, everything you need is right there. This is a bad word I'm about to say, but I'm so tired of church homes being devastated in darkness. Ain't y'all? Because of the devil blindsiding us. Man, ain't these pews beautiful? You know what the reality of the law of sowing and reaping is still true. You know why I'm where I'm at today is how I sowed in them days. No matter who you are, how you sow is how you're going to reap. And you always reap more than you sow. It's the first summer I've had in 28 years. I got sick. I was out of the pulpit 4.5 months. And I planted a garden. I've loved a garden. And oh, man, let me tell you, me and Mama, we've canned. We've had a, I don't know how good a time she's had, but I've had a real good time. We've worked like borrowed mules. These mason jars upstairs and downstairs. Some you can see through and some you can't. I believe in real medicine. Y'all get that about next week. And Bubba got some out of the freezer. He said, why ain't that froze? I say, son, you leave that alone. Don't you get on to me when you'll turn the bottle of NyQuil up. It's 18% alcohol. Hey, are we being filmed or whatever? Oh, Lord. I'm done, y'all. It's nice knowing y'all. I was at Charlotte, North Carolina with double lung pneumonia preaching a revival, and a little deacon's wife come to me with a little bitty jelly jar, had tinfoil over it, and had about that much of something in the bottom of it. And she said, if you'll drink that, son, he said, you'll preach like a wild man tomorrow night. I called Daddy. I said, Daddy, I said, she's giving me some medicine. Said, it's homebrew. Said, if I drank it, said, it'd cure me. He said, turn it up, son. Honest to God, she'll tell you. Hey, we're changing bed sheets at 1 o'clock in the morning. I told her I was a dying. I told God I was sorry. I was pouring water out all over my body. Sweating. Are y'all hearing me? My fat was leaking. Hey, don't act like I'm the only one got that problem. You know, it's leaking. Y'all don't ever have that problem, but grow old and you will. You little thing won't. Your little metabolism. That's all I wished I had of yours. Huh? And it helped me. I'm sorry to run that rabbit. But we had such a time, and listen, I've even got mason jar decor in my office. It's old school. And I said, Becca, I said, boy, we're going to grow enough of okra right here to feed the neighborhood. We're going to grow enough of corn to feed the church. We did. That corn growed so thick, ears on it wasn't but about that long. I forgot you're supposed to thin it out. Man, it looked like grass growing. Amen. And we had a time. Are you hearing me? And I was down in that plowing bowl with my hands. I was picking green beans. And the Holy Ghost went to preaching to me. And it is true. You can sow one seed of okra and reap hundreds of seeds. And young people, you listen to me. If you ain't careful, you'll think, I can do this and get by with it. But you're going to reap more than you sow. And then I want to say this to you in the church world, instead of a negative thought. Some of you say, man, I ain't got but a dollar left of my name, and the missions plate comes by. Can I tell you, in God's world, you'll still reap more than you sow? Yes, sir. We've magnified so long on the devil's side about reaping more than you sow. Well, let me get over here on the other side. Can I tell you, I'm reaping better than I've sown for the Lord? Are y'all hearing me? And so I want to say, you just go on and you load them kids up and you keep sowing the seed of faith. You keep sowing the seed, even though when your whole life is filled with doubt. I'm talking about when all you've got is because of a death and there's a departure and there's darkness all around and there's been a bad, ugly separation. Can I say it? It's a divorce. Is that okay? Am I going to get in trouble? It's happening in this hour. Y'all hearing me? How about the same breath? That don't mean it's over with. Am I all right, preacher? I don't normally ask, but am I all right? I've had some dark separations in our church. One tried to do right, another one was doing wrong. And they're like, what in the world's happened? Can I tell you? 4 or 5 years later, brother. Man, they coming in with a song in their heart, a spring in their step. Somebody help me rejoice. At glory to God, in this faith that we're living in, we'll still reap more than we sow spiritually. So you know what it makes me want to do? It wants me to make, I want to sow more. And some of y'all this week need to look at your surroundings and quit wanting something new. And realize what you got's all you need. I've looked at other people's ministries and said, what am I doing wrong? I've looked at other people's marriages and said, what am I doing wrong? No, it's my lot. It's my lot. Let me say this in a few closing remarks as I come to an end about making room for what you got. You notice the Bible said to go sell. Did you notice that little phrase, the oil stayed? Now, I don't know how to say this the way I want to say it, so I'm going to try to get it out. Who do you think, when anybody in town wanted oil, where they come to? The Bible said the oil stayed. Hello? I don't have Bible for this, you know, where it just says it. But the oil stayed. And let me tell you where I'm running this rabbit from. Verse 7, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Brother Jonathan, I believe I'm going to lose 4 friends right here. I believe somewhere over yonder where all this happened, there's somebody still selling oil. Are y'all with me? I believe somewhere, wherever this happened at, hey, steal some oil over there. We might ought to go, are y'all with me? They some CEO somewhere on the beach somewhere living high on the hog, probably going to die and go to hell, and it was a miracle that the oil stayed. They done got their name on the vessels. Are y'all going where I'm trying to take y'all? Huh? Can I tell you when me and you's dead and gone? Oh, when we're dead and gone, Brother Jonathan, if Jesus ain't come back and you've grown and groomed somebody to take his place, guess what? The banner of amazing grace is still going to be waving high. And sinners are still going to be getting saved. Do you know why? Because the oil stayed. And if I could have any thought tonight, I'd want to encourage every one of you to make your mind up. You're going to be like that oil. Yeah. You're going to be like that oil. And the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. Well, I just don't fit in, preacher. I just ain't got nothing to do. May not be time for you to do something just yet. It may be time for you to just get rooted and grounded. I've had people at our church, and you can ask my wife, I was so close, Brother Jonathan. I was fixing to ask them to do something. They got sideways and got out. And it's because they was like, well, I've been here a year and you ain't asked me to do nothing. About the time you make a mess of things is really when God was about to make a miracle in your life. Who do you want on the piano, preacher? Come on, sis. Want her to play soft. I'm coming to a close. This, I've stayed up here too long. We got all we need. We just need to use it. We got all we need. We just need to use it. Do you know in the economy of God, God just asks the same out of everybody? I don't want to talk much about money, but I got to close with this because he said, go sell the oil. Did you know a tithe of $30 on $300 is the same in the economy of God as a tithe of $300 on $3,000? Do you realize that? We're right now, ain't we, preacher? It's all right to have what we call money men. There ain't nothing wrong with that. As long as they ain't wanting the front seat in front of everybody. But sometimes we as poor people will say, boy, they don't need my little $30 down there. But that $30 is as important to God as that $300 is. Got a man in my church, a wealthy man. I mean, he's a wealthy man. God's blessed us with two or three of them, okay? And they don't want nobody to know it. Is that all right? Just get this honest. I'm talking about $1,000 every time an offering plate passes. And then people will sit back and say, well, we know he's going to give enough. I don't need to give. And then that little old bitty lady, she's 74-year-old. I'm talking about like clockwork. Every week, $30. And you and I will look and say, well, I can do more of that 1,000 than I can of that 30. But in the providence of God, he don't count money like me and you count money. And I know this is a giving church. I don't care how good a giving church it is, there's always somebody that'll sit back and hold back. And you'll pull up and say, God just don't treat me like he does them. I ain't trying to be a charismatic preacher, but I can biblically prove to you that every one of us is in charge of our blessing. That's how we sow. That's how we sow. That's how we sow. The responsibility that you and I tote tonight is not what we can get. The responsibility we tote is it's what we've got. And if you're not careful, you'll spend a lifetime on trying to get what you think you need when you've got what you need. Young people, if mom and daddy's got a bad feeling about that boyfriend or that girlfriend, you might ought to step back and value what mom and daddy's feeling. When your preacher comes preaching so hard and you feel like he's preaching right at you instead of getting mad, you might ought to go back and evaluate what's God trying to show me. Because in reality, I got all I need. I don't need no more. I don't need no more. Somebody said, no, you need more money. No, 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 no. You're missing the mark. When you realize when you got all you got, when you got him, that's all you need. Health issues. I'm paying bills better now than I've ever paid in the last decade. But let me tell you what I'm battling. I'm battling more health issues than you can shake a stick at. And Brother Barker, I believe I'd rather battle sweating bills than I had where I'm sweating. Miss Jan, I believe I'd rather say, Beck, I'm going to have to go work another job than having to deal with what we're having to deal with. Is anybody reasoning with me? And if I ain't careful, I'll get cross-sided and think I need something when what I got, I already need. What I got, I already have. What I need, I already have. Let's stand.